The length of my arms and my eyes are not kind of working together, so. Okay. I think I'm going to do some mixed analogies this morning, you know. Andy gave us a lovely illustration last week, and I went to the woods walking this week, as I do every week and most mornings, really. And this week, when I was out walking with the dog, I came across deer twice. And we've had some really lovely early mornings, haven't we, with kind of sunshine. So if you're out early, not too early, it's about kind of 7 o'clock, 7 in the morning, and it's been absolutely stunning across the fields. And on two occasions, say, I've come across deer as I've been walking. And on the first occasion, I was walking around some pathways, and just kind of, as you do, you know, thinking, my dog's a bit slow these days, so he's always, you know, he's quite a way behind me, so I'm just turning around, checking he's still there, and I'm walking along, thinking my thoughts, really. And as I looked up, there was a deer just stood in front of me, as near as Eva is to me, and it just stood on the pathway, and it turned its head, and it just looked at me, you know, and it turned around, and it went quite quickly. And then on the second occasion, I'd kind of nearly finished my walk, coming back down the pathways, and again, as I turned, there was just a deer stood. And again, you do that. You look, they look at you, don't they? And I don't know about you, if it ever happens to you, but I'm always filled with wonder. That it's always such a wonderful sight. And I kind of like, and again, it looked. It kind of looked both ways, and it turned, and it went back into the woodland. And it doesn't matter when I see deer, where I see them, I'm always reminded of Psalm 42, always. And in Psalm 42 it says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. But of course these deer, they weren't near water at this time, but I remember this scripture when I see them. But what really struck me, and I suppose this is where I'm going to kind of mix this up a little bit, is what really struck me about both of those occasions was that how watchful they are when they see you. So for me, it's a kind of real wonder when I see them. It's like, you know, they're so beautiful. And but for them, they stand and they take stock, and then they quickly make a decision to go. They don't hang around. As much as I want to admire them, they don't stay. Once they've kind of realised that you're there, they turn and they go. And what that reminded me of really is the verse in James. So I'll just turn to that. There's a verse in James that says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. And in some ways it made me think that those deer, once they saw me, they recognised that I'm dangerous. So as much as I think they're beautiful and I wouldn't harm them, they see me as the enemy, if you like, don't they? So they look at me and it's like, got to get out of here. This is not a safe place to be with this person and this dog in tow here. So they go. And it made me think that sometimes, you know, things, they can look quite good and they can look quite innocent, can't they? But they can be quite dangerous. And in as much as we can get involved sometimes with things that aren't good for us, the deer knows I'm not good. He recognises straight away I'm not good for him, you know. I might admire him, but I'm not good for him. I'm quite dangerous. So he goes. Why don't I do the same? It made me think about, why don't I do the same? And so coming back to our original scripture, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, God. And even that scripture in James, what it's saying is, you know, if you're close to God and your desires are right, then you don't walk into places of danger. So it just made me think about that, how this lovely creature saw me and went, and how sometimes I don't do that because actually I'm not like that deer and my soul isn't panting to be with God, that my desire set's wrong, if you like. So while I'm not close to God, I don't always recognise the dangers. But if I remain close to God and I stay with him, then my soul, it thirsts for God and it wants to be in God's presence and it doesn't want to be in the presence of other things and it knows to move away from them. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my song, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. And that's why we need to be here together, isn't it? We need to be here together. We need to be meeting as the people of God together. And we need to be allowing those truths into our hearts, into our minds, so that our desire grows to be with God and to be in his presence. So then that we will recognize when we're in places that God doesn't want us to be in, and we can turn and we can flee. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you that we can be in your presence today. Lord, we ask for hearts that desire you, hearts, Lord, that are thirsty to be in your presence, hearts that long, Father, for your Holy Spirit to reveal your truth to us. Father, we ask that as we meet here before you this morning, that you will reveal your truth to us, that, Father God, you will set it in our minds and in our hearts, and that, Lord, we will have a desire to live our lives for you day by day. Amen. And he's going to... it's really good when we've got things that we want to share with the body, that build the body up to. So, Alan, you're outside. Are you coming inside to share?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. So Alan's very keen to share this morning, and then Keith's going to share with us as well, so... No, they wouldn't, Alan.
I was thinking about chorus we used to sing years ago. I love this family of God, so closely knitted into one. It's taken me into its heart, and I'm so glad to be a part of this great family. This and universal. Say it's in the revelation of our Saviour to his servant John. And the elders bowed down and cast their thrones before him. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honour and power, for thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure, they were and are created. To think that we, as mortal man and women, are created for God's pleasure. God takes delight in us. You know, I had a few looks this morning when I said to some of them, oh, it's my birthday yesterday. But the year I was born, it was the 31st of July, and yesterday was the 1st of August. But it was the 1st of August when I made a public confession. And it was coming on a train journey back to Grimsby. I had been invited by my mother-in-law, who was the best, wonderful mother-in-law anybody could have. She was wonderful, and she was one of the instruments that God used to lead me to the Saviour. Coming back on a journey, God's Spirit, he did his work. He convicted me of sin, of righteousness and of judgment. And I always say it was like being in a false roof, dirty false roof. And you felt as if something was crawling in your hair. And I just, on that, I cried out to God, forgive me. I went to Christine, and we weren't married then, I went to Christine, and I came home, and I said, Christine, I've decided I want to follow Jesus. On the Sunday, I went to the Pentecostal church, which my mother-in-law went to, I'd been there a number of times, and I made a public confession, because if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. Aaron Ruffenden, who was a dear brother, he was the one who was preaching at the time. I put my hand up, and Christine's cousin, John Wester, was a wonderful believer. He read led me actually to the Lord. And it was tremendous. You know, the way God uses. He used a marshal, Mrs. Marshall. And you know, in the scriptures, it said he used an ass that spoke. Well, he used a pigeon to carry the message. And it was Mrs. Pigeon, Chris's mum's friend, who used to help her to clean offices and that. So, some of you know her son, Dennis. I think he'd been to Salvation Church once or twice. But his hair... She was one of the ones who God used. He's used many, many people. I thank the Lord, you know, for Pam there, her mum and her dad, how they helped me. Angela Vickers, her father, Arnold Kennedy, many, many. I thank God for the ones we've got here, the different ministries we've got, the different, but they all complement. By the way, a scripture reading last night, Dawn, was James. Resist him, he'll flee from you. God confirms everything, doesn't he? You know, I thank God for all of these. I thank God most of all. And I'm going to be in trouble now when I get home. For the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen, and I still think that, Kristen. See, I don't mean to embarrass you, Christian, is it? But it is. I thank God for different friends. Barbara and Fred were my closest friends. And when I say Barbara and Fred, I have to mention Barbara first. If I mention Fred, and he was listening to this, I'd have got some of that when I got to see him on Wednesday. So that's it. But I do thank God for all the ministries. The people I came to know. Wendy, in 1965, I came to know you, and it was her mum who was one of my mentors. She was a real evangelist, she'd been watching. But the different ones. I thank God. I thank God for you all. You know, and I praise him. I know people say you shouldn't shout out. I was saying to Rob this morning, I said, I hope you don't mind me when you say something, you're saying hallelujah. He says, no. Or... hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen. He says, no, I don't. I said, some people don't like that. But if it offends anybody, come and tell me, and I'll try to keep my voice down. But I thank God for all of you. You need it, sword, don't you?
Do you want to come, Keith? I'm going to come and use the microphone.
C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Surprised by Joy. The times that the Lord surprises me with things that I haven't seen before, I hope he never stops. I was reading a devotional a couple of weeks ago, and the scripture was from John, that lovely bit where Jesus talks to his disciples who seem to be quite worried about the fact that he was going back to heaven. And when I read it, I saw something that I hadn't seen before. When Jesus said that if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now when Andy has opened the scriptures to us and explained some things about the Jewish tradition of marriage. The marriage has been, if you like, arranged, and the bridegroom goes away to prepare a place for the bride, and then he comes back. Have you realized you are the bride of Christ. He's going away, or he's gone away, and when he comes back, it's to receive you to himself, his bride. And I thought, I didn't see that before. He's talking to the disciples. And then I thought, I'm a disciple. Maybe not a very good one, but I'm a disciple. He loves me just the same as he loves everyone else. And he's coming back for me. Whether he takes me before I die or whether he collects me afterwards, it's immaterial to me. He's coming back. So it's something to be really rejoicing about. When you read scriptures, ask yourself a question. Why? Why did Jesus say to the disciples, if I go away, I will come back and receive you to myself? Why is he going to receive you to himself? I've already told you. Because you belong to him. You are his bride. Open your eyes to what the scripture is saying. I've been reading the scripture since I was a little boy. Maybe I've got a lot up there that I haven't used. I remember Arthur King, as many of you may have remembered, used to say, what you've got up there has got to come 12 inches lower. I had a head knowledge of scripture, a head knowledge of my Lord. Alan's been talking about the various people in his life. I used to sing solos at the Sunday school anniversary in North Oresby Methodist Church every year. And my Sunday school teacher, bless her, I was thinking about her this week, Margaret Coolin, used to play the piano, and she'd got the gospel songs collection, and she was going through various songs, and there was a title of one of the songs there was Jesus is my Saviour, and bless her, do you know what she said? You can't sing that, can you? It didn't register at that moment, but it did later. I could go into lots of different things that had prompted me on my walk to conversion. Never really understood what sanctification was all about. I used to hear people say, are you sanctified in church? And it didn't mean much to me. I was saved. But the Lord Jesus has slowly brought people into my life. We had a brother speak at the Celebration Church, John Coole, who's fellowshipping elsewhere at the moment. And he gave an illustration of the teeth on a saw. Up, down, up, down, up, down. We don't go from point A straight up, unless you are so sanctified that that is a continuous progress. You will have stumbles, but there'll be a dip. But the Lord has promised, if you stumble, I will pick you up. How did you come to be a Christian? You asked him to come into your life. And it's the same way that he will do everything for you. When I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, the scriptures I've been reading over and over again, I had a light bulb moment, if you like, in Luke 11, where it said, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask him? I hadn't thought of it like that. Ask and you shall receive. Believe. My studies this week have been about Abraham and the promises. His promises were given 400 plus years before the law was even given. And as we read in Hebrews, because he believed, it was accounted to him for righteousness. You believe, you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Establish his throne in your heart.
Sometimes you say the scripture and it's just so fresh for you, isn't it? And it's the Lord really speaking into your heart and your situation, and you can have read it again and again, can't you, previously, but the Lord just uses his word, doesn't he, to speak to us in his truth and his word. So now we're going to come before the...